The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Happy Monday, everyone. Hope you're off to a great week, and thank you for joining us today on Afternoons with Mike. On today's program, two guests. In just a moment, we'll have an interview with Don Kirkendall from Affordable One Insurance in Orlando. Don is a member of the Christian Chamber. I met him through that, and he's going to be here with us in the studio. And then at the end of that segment, the second segment, I'll have John Stemberger on the line with me. John is leading a group to Tallahassee tomorrow. That is the 18th of May for a special rally that is going to take place in support of an effort to have the House and the Senate not approve a bill that is up for the Florida legislature. It is a special session that is being called, and it really involves expansion of gambling in Florida. Stay tuned for that. That's going to be in our last segment today. John Stemberger from the Florida Family Policy Council. But right now, let's welcome Don Kirkendall. Sitting in the studio with a friend that I first met through the Christian Chamber, and that is Don Kirkendall. Don is the president of Affordable One Insurance. I think president would be the title, right?
Sure, that sounds good.
That sounds great. Yeah, the owner of Affordable One Insurance. And he also happens to be a person that I have some insurance through. So I'll let you all know that up front. And he is a great guy, although we are not paying him for this, nor he is not paying us for this time here on the show. We're here today because he is a great guy. And he is, again, a fellow member of our community in the Orlando area that is known as the Christian Chamber. Don Kirkendall, welcome to my program.
Thank you.
You have the greatest story of a person that came to a saving knowledge through a motorcycle club. You joined up and got with a community of believers in a bikers club, right?
Absolutely. A lot of people will grow up as Christians. I mean, I went to church with my grandparents and the Larkin Avenue Baptist Church up in Illinois. You went through all these things. And you go through these things, and yet, you know, how much of a believer truly are you? And so I got to riding a motorcycle, like a motorcycle. And I'd had a few accidents. My wife's very concerned. And so one day she comes to me and she says, you know, you're really getting this sleazy biker look down. I mean, I've had people stand next to me in biker gear and not recognize me. I have to go to them and go, hey, it's me. And they're like, yeah, sure. Okay. No, it's really me. And so I'm up in Daytona at an event and I go into a surplus store and there's a little patch there and it says Bikers for Christ. And I thought to myself, that is really cool. So if I'm going to do the whole biker routine, I don't have to be the sleazy biker routine. I'm going to check on this. And it turns out there's a huge organization called Bikers for Christ. Mm-hmm. They're out of California. Pastor Fred's the guy. And so I get him on the telephone and we're talking. And I said, do you have a presence here? No, we don't, but you could be that guy. And I went, excuse me? And so literally, I end up being the state elder for Bikers for Christ. And so that goes on for years. We help do some new chapters. Things move right along. And so you have to picture this. They have this giant patch on their back. I mean, people would walk up to us in mm-hmm. restaurants and go, wow, you're bikers and you're not afraid to proclaim for Christ. I said, well, if you don't proclaim for him, who are you going to, you know? I mean, we used to walk into biker bars and people, the respect we got was mind-numbing. Hmm. We were never badly treated. People loved it. And so years later, I had a bad accident and I go off my motorcycle 50 miles an hour. Which is not a good thing.
No.
Snap the mirror off with my face, go through the window. So I wake up a couple hours later, about 3 hours later at the hospital. And I'm being pushed down the hall by the nurse. And people don't realize there's two things they do to you when you have a bike accident. First off, they don't take your clothes off. They cut your clothes off. And the second thing is they strap you down because they don't want you to jump up and accidentally hurt mm-hmm. yourself. Because I had hurt my back, my ribs, picked something and it hurt.
Did you have broken bones too from all that?
really funny. I didn't break anything. I just hurt the daylights out of everything.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's serious pain.
Something about hitting the concrete or asphalt at 50 miles an hour.
Actually, I hit the grass. I mean, I know exactly where I went off that motorcycle, but it was the kind of projecting through the windscreen thing that took the edge off
of it. Oh, yeah.
So I wake up in a hospital, I'm being pushed down, and my eyes open. She goes, "Ms. Kirkland, you know where you're at?" And I said, "Probably in a hospital." She says, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, I'm sure." She goes, "How are you sure?" I said, "Well, because this isn't heaven." And she goes, "How do you know this isn't heaven?" I said, "Because I was just there, and this isn't it at all." And so she's laughing, and now I get back to the room. Now, here's a big brown paper bag full of stuff, and my wife's sitting there, and she's crying, but she's so happy I'm alive. And I said, "What's that?" And she says, "That's what's left of everything you had on, except for two things. I wear zip-up steel-toe boots. They were there. And there's this big piece of leather with a giant patch on the back. When they cut my clothes off, they didn't touch it." There's not one grass stain on that patch. I have that patch to this day. When I left the organization, part of that thing is you have to give back your stuff. And I went, "No." And Fred calls me up. He goes, "No, Don, that's the deal. You know what the deal is. You have to give it back." I said, "Fred, I died with that patch on. You're not getting it back. You want to come down here and get it, yes, you're welcome to come down here and try and get it. Oh, but that thing is framed. It's in my closet. I will never give up that patch because it doesn't have has no stains, no marks. So how in the world did they get all my clothes off me, do all of that, and there's not a mark on this thing?" And so the doctor comes in, and he's doing the standard doctor thing. "You know, Mr. Kirkland," he goes, "Look, I'll tell you the truth." He said, "I know you had to be screaming." I said, "Yeah, I was doing over 50 when I hit. I know I was doing over 50 because I looked down and went, wow, I'm doing over 50 and went through the windscreen." He says, "We don't know why you're here." I said, "Do I have to explain this to you?" He goes, "What?" I said, "I want a doctor that understands." I said, "Doc, it's not my time. When my name is called, I'm going to go because the one thing I just learned 2 hours ago is you don't get to debate it." Okay, when it's your time, it's your time. Mm-hmm. We used to call it when your work is done. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Well, how do you know when your work is done?" I said, "Because you don't know when your work." He'll let you know. It's okay. He'll let you know your work is done. That's your time.
You close your eyes here. You wake up there.
That's it. You're back. It from reading all the things I did about out of body, my aunt had two out of body experiences, and you're returning to that which you started. Mm-hmm. And that's the best way I always explain it to people, is that someone took you out of there, you're going to return there, and you'll understand that when you're back part of where you're supposed to be.
It really must be quite an experience to have that kind of an accident. You probably don't remember the pain of hitting or anything like that.
No clue.
Oh, my goodness.
I got the helicopter ride. They send you the helicopter bill. If you haven't gotten a helicopter bill from a hospital, you're looking, back then it was $10,000 to $15,000.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's crazy. It is insane. And so they send you the bill for the helicopter. So I called up and I went, "Guys, what's with the helicopter?" And they're like, "Yeah, we helicoptered you." "No, you didn't. I didn't get to play with the radio. I didn't get to wave at anybody."
"Yeah, I didn't even get to enjoy the trip."
I said, "I was 20 minutes away from a hospital." "Oh, no, sir. We had to do you on the trauma thing, and you get the helicopter ride." And I went, "Okay. Well, one of the things that we sell today, crazy as it sounds, is a policy specifically to pay for helicopter rides."
Mm.
And jets, because that stuff is just crazy.
So your insurance that you had at the time did not cover that.
And that's how I ended up with that, was I got this bill for $10,000-$12,000. I don't remember what it was at the time. And I really thought somebody was pulling my leg, because I was literally minutes from a hospital. Well, you can't go to that hospital. You have to go to the helicopter hospital.
Mm-hmm. It's the grace of God, Don, that you're able to walk and you're not just, so maimed from that accident. 50 miles an hour, whether you hit grass or not. I mean, that's a pretty abrupt end.
I'm laying there in the hospital and I'm wiggling my toes. And my wife goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm wiggling my toes."
"Because I can."
She goes, "Why are you wiggling your toes?" "Because I was told that if you can wiggle your toes, your spine is intact. I'm going to get up and walk out of here." She goes, "Look, relax, you're going to be okay." So doctor comes in and they give you this little pump thing to hold in your hand. If you get pain, you push it, and it's a morphine or something. So he comes in, I go, "Doc, this thing's broke." He goes, "No, it's fine." He said, "We turned that thing off." I go, what? He says, you were having way too much fun with that. We turned that off.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, this, you're doing okay. You're going to leave here tomorrow. And I go, I am. He goes, I'm going to walk. And he goes, yeah, you're going to walk right out of here. I said, and you don't believe in God? I mean, fly off a thing at 50 miles an hour and 2 days on a Sunday and Tuesday, you're going to stand up and walk out of there?
It's amazing.
Truly.
Do you ride bikes anymore?
I gave up the motorcycle thing a couple of years ago and bought a convertible.
Hmm.
So now I have a 1984 Mustang GT convertible, That's a lot of fun. You know, work in progress. And my granddaughter is the one bugging me. She wants to get back on the motorcycle. And I said, we had the conversation again yesterday. I said, look, we're not going to do the motorcycle thing. I said, you get a little bit older. I mean, she's got her own helmet, her own jacket, everything. She's 9. I said, you get a little bit older, we might get a dirt bike for you or something. I said, it's a matter of, first off, the roads are crazy, and they get crazier every day. And running around with 700 pounds underneath you, it's a little more challenging than it used to be.
Yeah, you see a lot of bikes, and they're everywhere. And I just can't imagine flying off of one at 50 miles an hour. But I have had accidents on motorcycles myself, but never one that severe.
Yeah, when I lived outside of Chicago, I hit the back of a Dodge Dart at 40 miles an hour. And literally tumbled over the car. And they even said that the smartest thing I did was to stand up because it pushed me, made me tumble forward.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I'd have squatted down, I'd have got to kiss the back of the Dodge Dart, which would not have been a good thing.
Yeah, not a good choice.
But you'll love this. So I'm lying in the street and there's a woman over me. And I looked up at her and I said, you must be an angel. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And at that moment, the man next to her goes, there's nothing wrong with him. Let's get out of here. It was his daughter. And here comes these people. And it turns out there was literally an ambulance at that traffic light. Because I said to the guys, wow, how did you get here so quick? He said, we're sitting at the traffic light watching you going, oh, he's going to hit that car. And I hit that car.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were literally right there.
Two accidents you've survived.
Oh, yeah. Bad ones.
Man. Well, you're a good risk when it comes down to having motorcycle insurance then.
Well, but it goes back to, I don't have especially lately because with the virus and everything, you have a lot of people very, very, I've had people cry on the phone, call me up and just cry. And I'm like, look, you have to understand, no, okay? You're going to know, you're going to have that conversation. If you haven't had a discussion with your minister, somebody, you need to go have that conversation because no, it's not that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you'll know.
That's amazing. Yeah. Don, you sell insurance. Were you always one that was leaning toward wanting to do that as a profession, or did this kind of come along in your life as a surprise to you?
I read a great article over the weekend in one of our magazines, and it says, nobody gets up in the morning and thinks to themselves, wow, when I finish high school, I want to sell insurance. It just does. I was in computers for 27 years. I was in the military for 10 years in computers and spent a total of 27 years in computers. And once I got out of that, you turn 50 and the computer business isn't really in love with people 50 years old.
Mm.
And that's a bad thing for them because there's a lot of experience there. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, gee, what am I going to do? And literally got a phone call from an organization and then decided I didn't like being a captive agent. I want to be an independent agent and we wanted to do different things for people. And so it kind of grew from there.
Explain the difference in what it means to be an independent insurance agent.
Well, the state will say that everybody's an independent agent. That's a tax issue. Whereas in our business, our terms are captive. A captive person is somebody who works for an insurance company. So it'll say so on their card. It'll say, I won't give you names, but if you see a business card and it says XYZ Insurance, generally you'll see them on TV, the little frog guy on the aircraft carrier. That's a captive insurance person. Whereas an independent insurance person, I'm appointed to 90 some different companies. So appointed means I'm authorized to sell their products. So when I talk to somebody, you probably won't remember, but when you and I first spoke, we talked about a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
The folks I was just with before I came here, and the lady's like, why are you asking me so many questions? I said, because I don't have a one size fits all. I don't have to sell you a blue one. I have a blue one, a red one, a pink one, an orange one. Mm-hmm. And we got to make sure that we get the one that's going to work for you.
And that's part of what makes an insurance guy a pro and a good one is that they can, you can tailor what you do for what they need.
I think that to me, the biggest thing, and we have new people and we're in process of hiring more people. And I interviewed a woman yesterday that just got out of the military. I said, you have to remember who we serve. It's your mom. It's your dad. Mm-hmm. It's your neighbor. And if you look at it that way, I said, then this becomes life-changing. Because you wouldn't do this. The biggest arguments I've ever gotten into with insurance companies and other agents is they lost track of who they serve. Okay, they serve their mom, mm-hmm. their sister, their cousin. If I look at you the same way I would look at my brother, there are things I cannot do to you. If you're my brother, you know where I live, you know who I am, you know where I am. You know, you want to make darn sure that there's never a question about what I helped mm-hmm. you with.
Don Kirkendall is my guest today. Don is the owner of Affordable One Insurance, and he is a part of the Christian Chamber, and that's how I met him. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about his involvement in the Chamber. I know he has a heart for that, and he's a good friend of our good friend, Mark Goldstein. So we'll be back, hear more of these great stories from our friend Don Kirkendall. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Back again with Don Kirkendall from Affordable One Insurance. Don, it's so great to have you in the studio and finally get to talk over what you do and how you do it. And you do such a great job in your business. Don is obviously a fun personality to hang around and talk, and he brings a lot of spice to the meetings. Back when we got to have face-to-face all the time meetings with the Christian Chamber, I, for one, am looking forward to those days again when we're past all these COVID protocols and all of that. But we had some fun times back before pre-COVID, as the phrase is often given. But you tell me how you met Mark and where did you meet Mark Goldstein?
I went to some meetings with the Christian Chamber and they went through some trials, and I don't remember the lady that started the thing, but it was an interesting organization. And then it comes out, she's going to move out of the Christian Chamber, and this other guy, Mark Goldstein, is going to come into the Christian Chamber. Mm-hmm. Because people always ask us, you know, why are you members of the Christian Chamber of Commerce? Well, because insurance, people in insurance tend to be members of various chambers for various reasons. And I got so disgusted. In fact, disgusted was a nice word for some of the things that we went through. And my thought was, we're going to get out of all this mess. I don't want to be a member of any organization that I have to be ashamed of all the time. Mm. And so here was the Christian Chamber, which I thought was pretty cool, but now they're going to go through a transition. And so now we get to meet the new guy. So here comes the new guy and we're sitting there talking, and it was just one of those things where we kind of hit it off.
Yeah.
You know,
I get it.
He's like, what do you think we should do? I said, look, my biggest complaint, if someone yesterday, again, someone was in my office interviewing, and they're looking at me and they're like, what's the thing with the plaque from the Christian Chamber? I said, well, there's no requirement that you be a Christian to work here. That would be ridiculous. We've had Muslims work here. We've had people, lesbians, gays, whatever you want to say. Pick something. It doesn't matter. That's not the issue. However, you should know that we will not do something that's not in somebody's best. That would be terrible wrong. And so Mark and I kind of hit it off with where that would go. And then one day we're just sitting there and I'm like, look, you got to crank this thing up. This is not enough. We can do more, be more. And I said, I think it's going to be important that we have to quit hiding that we're Christians. Because I had a good friend who was a VP at a very large insurance outfit here. And that was their attitude. I mean, they're huge. I won't tell you who it is. But they weren't going to hide it. I don't think it gets on my nerves. Why should we hide this thing? Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you can't go tell people, you know, you believe in Jesus Christ. Why not? Because if you're afraid to tell somebody, that's kind of not the program, all right? I mean, you should be. I have a friend. I don't know if you remember the story years ago about the guy that found a little girl in the woods. He's a friend of mine. That's a true story. Mm. Where he gets up one morning, the little girl was lost for several days, and he walks into the woods and says, "Hi, I'm here to take you home." Okay. And they walk. The police have been all over it for days. All of that had gone on. And he and I talk. We haven't talked in a few months, but we used to talk all the time. And I said, "You actually got the call, right?" And he goes, "No, I didn't get a phone call." He said, "I literally woke up that morning, and in my head, it said, go do this."
Isn't that something?
And I said, and he's in business. And I said to him, I said, "You need to share that all the time. If somebody challenged you, have them call me, because I know you, because I was there when it happened." I mean, it was truly incredible. So you're in business. It's not a case of you're ramming anything down anyone's throat. Nowhere in the book that I read does it tell you to do that. What it tells you is just set the example. Because we've had multiple people interview and they go, "Are you guys Christians?" "Sure." "Is that a problem?" "No." "Oh, okay." Because it's not a problem for us. We don't have a problem with it. We're Americans. We're Christians. This is what we do. So known Mark and Kevin and Ronnie and all those wonderful people for a long time. Mark just got retired.
Yes.
So now we have the lovely Crystal Parker.
Yes, and she's doing a great job.
She's doing great. She's going. We're going national. It's going to be the U.S. Central Florida Christian Chamber. They got a big expo going on in October, which we're going to do some of the sponsor on.
And you're on the board.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I've been on the board before. Now I'm back on the board again. And I got to get my schedule together so I can get into participating. That just happened the other day. And so, mainly,
congratulations.
You know, it's one of those things where you're trying, it's one of those good, bad things. You know, it's not that your day wasn't full already.
Yeah, right.
And so you sit there and you look at the other people that are on there and you say, you know, where can I plug in to places that those folks may not be? And that's really what it comes down to. But no, we've been we were a gold sponsor, then a platinum sponsor. People come in the office all the time. They go, "What's all of that?" And I said, "Well, that's our little contribution. It's like there's some other wonderful organizations that we try and support in town." And they call you up and they go, "Thank you very much." Or at some come in. Mark came in the other day with the people from Christian Leadership.
And CLC.
CLC. And we're talking. We're having a good time. I said, "I just wish we could do more." I heard about a pastor one time that had written a book and he gave like 80% of what he got to that and kept 20% to live on. And I said, and that's my thing. There are some members that occasionally get unhappy with me because I make the comment to them. I said, "Look, you're successful. Yes. Here's what this cost. Yes. Divided by 12. Yeah. I know you could do that. Now that's up to you. You do what you want to do. We chose to do that." And we tell the people in the office, we don't help everybody because we can't. We have a handful of places that it's very important to us to help those organizations. Other people may have some other folks they want to help. It's like food banks. Food banks are fantastic. But, you know, we got 10 of them. And so we can only help, you know, one or two. And that's what we try and do. And so.
It's very involved to see how many people are in Central Florida are part of this chamber. It's really amazing to me. Back when we had all of the meetings and all of the different types, it's really robust when you think about the community that you have of businesses that believe in the Lord and are wanting their businesses to grow. And it's a mutual encouragement. That, and you guys are always helping each other.
Well, we're having lunch. You can come on down. You know, we're going to have that second Thursday of every month.
Yeah.
They're having lunch, and they do the lunch, and they do the Zoom thing also. So there's people that you don't – someone called me up the other day, and they were like, "Hey, I saw you at the lunch." And I went, "You didn't see me at the lunch?" And he goes, "Yeah, I saw you at the lunch because I'm on the Zoom thing over here in Cleveland or wherever he was, and I saw you there." And I went, "Oh, I didn't realize – that they were seeing us through their connection that they had."
Yeah.
And so that was interesting.
That is cool. As an insurance guy, Don, you talk to people all the time. What do you think would be the most common thing that people need to know and maybe they don't know about insurance?
All insurance is risk management, and that's all it is. Your insurance company does not hate you. That's not true. They're in business. and they're balancing different things. And so are you. So you're spending a small amount of money, life insurance. You're spending a small amount of money that if something does happen, you get a large amount of money, or your beneficiary mm-hmm. does. It has gotten so complicated. The good old days when you and I were children, where you had a handful of things. Well, what technology has done is it's given you more choices. That's the good news. The bad news is it's given you more choices, and those choices are just crazy. And so as a consumer of anything, it has all gotten, look at televisions. I was watching something the other day where they had one of the first big screens, and I'm just laughing. That whole concept seems foreign to us now. You know, we're sitting here with computers. They don't have CRTs, cathode tubes. They're flat screens, mm-hmm. you know, and they're smaller, lighter, and they're less expensive. Well, an insurance, you as a consumer, I'm sorry, you got to get smarter. You know, somebody asked me the day, why did my homeowner's insurance go up? And I said, because you didn't shop it. What? If you don't challenge the companies and tell them what you want, what you're willing to pay, it's no different than anything else you shop for. You go to that car dealer. I want a blue one. I want it to have four tires on it. I want to have these things. And you've got to ask questions. And if you're not asking questions, then, and if you don't know the people you deal with, I mean, I love television. It's a lot of fun. But the reality is you're buying stuff off the tube. We get phone calls almost every day from mm-hmm. someone. I went on TV or went on the internet or I went on TV and I bought this thing and I don't think it's right. No, it's not. How do you know that? Because you bought it on the tube mm-hmm. or on the internet. I said, we have those. We have automated things that you can buy and never talk to us. Should you do that? No. You should talk to us because we're going to explain the goods, the bads, and the uglies. Not everything is perfect for everyone.
Is it because they don't really know what's available or know the questions to ask?
Nobody wants to feel dumb. They just don't. And so the reality is of in the world of insurance, we appreciate questions. Earlier today, I'm with a lady, and this is going on for an hour, and she's like, why are you asking me all these questions? Well, because we have to get this right. Because if we don't get this right, we can really hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, how are you going to hurt me? Because on the day you need it, it won't be what you really needed. It won't even be close. And now you're going to be upset. If you look at most of the complaints and the thing, you see on TV, it's because on the day when they want the hurricane hit, I'm a good example. And we discovered that the fence we have wasn't covered. Now, if it had fell down before the hurricane hit, or if it fell down after the hurricane left, it was covered. But on that day. Because it was a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered before I got into the homeowner's portion that I had a 5% deductible on my roof. Now, that may not seem like a big deal, depending on what your house is worth. But if the hurricane takes your roof off and you have a 5% deductible, odds are pretty good.
It's going to be multiple thousands of dollars.
And they won't be paying for it. You mm-hmm. will.
Yeah.
So that's a bad thing.
Yeah. It is so important to learn what we need to know about risk management. But then there is this whole thing about health, and health insurance has changed dramatically since the Affordable Care Act came out, commonly known as Obamacare. And so when that came out, it had to have sent shockwaves through your office and your industry.
Strangest thing I've ever, I mean, at one point we literally had people lined up outside the office and down the sidewalk. I remember when it first started, we would be there till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Now, the big reason for that is because the computer systems were so horrible that this was designed around. The decision was made to go build their own versus use what was already available, which worked very good. And so, yeah, it has changed so much because now we don't care about your health. Now it's all about your income. Well, that creates its own issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're going to see over the next few months is a lot of newer, different types of products that are not ACA, Affordable Care Act, Obamacare products, because while those products do fit a certain group of people very well, they don't fit a lot of people in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's just pure cost. The government is subsidizing the program. That sounds terrific till you realize the government's subsidizing the program, and that can change.
Yes.
You know, right now.
Often does change.
It will. I guarantee it'll change. Mm-hmm. And it'll change constantly. And so a government subsidized program, for example, years ago, we took for granted, you buy today, you're covered tomorrow. Nope. Now everything starts on the first of the month. Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there are other restrictions built into it. And the complication levels are just kind of mind-numbing.
Yeah, I know that President Trump and the leadership under his administration made some changes where the removal of the mandates were taking place. Is it better now than it was, let's say, in 2009?
I'm a big believer in encouragements as compared to mandates. I want to give you every reason in the world to make a really good decision instead of forcing you to mm-hmm. make a decision. And so I understand where he was trying to go, what he was trying to do. Most people forget that when this happened, it took 2 years.
It did.
Under a government that was all from one party. I don't like doing that. I like to have the mix because I believe if that mix requires you to work with other people. My person that came in for a job interview, we were talking about why I like to see people go into military because you're going to learn real fast how to work with the widest variety of people you have ever seen in your life.
And I remember that when it was first passed, and it was really brought out that a lot of these things that were kind of now put into order were not even going to take place until the year 2014.
It, you know, it came out, we looked at it. I actually have the original bill that I held up in front of my congressperson at the time and said, what you're saying doesn't match this. And she looked right at me and said, that's because I never read it.
Yeah. Well, we all know the famous line, we got to pass it so we can see what's
so
in
can
it.
See what's in. I yeah. was in the office of a congressman here, and I won't mention his name because he's semi-famous, and with four other people. And I said, what's the three things you'd like to have? And they told us, and I said, great, because we can show you how to do that without this bill. And mm-hmm. we went through it, and the chief of staff looked at me, and she goes, wow, that's really impressive. Too bad we're going to vote for it. I went, excuse me, you haven't voted yet. Yeah, but we're going to vote for it. Well, then what'd you waste our time coming up here mm-hmm. for?
Yeah.
So it's kind
yeah.
of interesting. But that program has changed. And again, it fits a certain group, but it also pigeonholes other people. My beautiful granddaughter's an example where I wanted to buy her health insurance. Well, where I could have bought it years ago for $65, $75. Today, it's $250.
Mm-hmm.
Or she goes on Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And
what part of affordable care does that does that make that?
No, people would be shocked to understand how few people actually have that program.
Yeah.
Technically, today there are fewer people on the program covered than were covered years ago.
And yet, when we hear news stories, Don, it's always presented that it's going to end health insurance for thousands and thousands of Americans. And that's really not true, is it?
I'm just a huge believer. If you turn the competitive juices loose, that the private industry will come out and just build stuff. Again, look at all the stuff around you and me that didn't even exist a few years ago. The whole cell phone thing. I've been packing a cell phone for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
We were joking earlier about phone booths, trying to explain to kids what a phone booth is. If you turn those people loose, you're going to see things that you've never seen before. Business wants to innovate. Why do I tell people shop the daylights out of their home insurance? Because that sends a message to the insurance company that people aren't happy, that they want certain things in there. And we have a big conference coming up. We're going to be communicating that to the insurance carriers.
Mm-hmm.
Look, people are asking about this and this and this and this, and this is what you need to see in your products. And so it pushes them to where they're going to be more competitive and do the kind of things. Because we're not looking, I don't know anybody looking for cheaper. People are looking for value.
My guest today, Don Kirkendall from Affordable One Insurance. We'll be back with Don for just a few more minutes. And then in the next segment, a conversation on the line with John Stemberger. Don't miss it. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando, can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO, Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Back again here on Afternoons with Mike for our final segment. Don Kuykendall is here, and in a moment, John Stimberger will be here on the line, so don't go away. How do you think the whole thing, whether it's part of value or just options, the whole thing of having a time where you kind of go in like an October, November time frame, the way they do right now, because that didn't used to be that way. You could move and get insurance and you wouldn't have to have an enrollment period. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't like the enrollment periods for a bunch of reasons. Most people, pre-existing is why. Because they will tell you they got rid of pre-existing. No, they didn't. They just changed it. Because once upon a time, you might have a pre-existing for 6 months, 12 months. We actually had insurance here in Florida that had no pre-ex on it. Nobody bought it because it was so outrageously expensive. And so what they did was they said, okay, there'll be no pre-ex. But wait a minute, you can't buy it until November. You can't use it until January. Mm-hmm. So if you have a serious heart condition in February and you may need a massive operation, okay, you don't have a pre-ex, but you can't buy it till November. And there's a better way to do that instead of having those set. And the problem with these enrollment periods is, which one do you like? Medicare is insane because we've got special enrollment periods and five-star enrollment periods. And oh, you'll like the annual election period, but wait a minute, wait for the open enrollment period. And people just sit there and they go, what in the world? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we keep track of it. You don't have to. Wow. That's the good news.
Yeah, that is the good news. Yeah. You've been in business now in your current location for how long?
15 years.
Hmm. And it's great.
It's fun because you park. I love it. We used to be up in an area where you had to come up the stairs. Now you get to park right in front of the door. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun. We have all these we have a car wash next door and we buy these tickets that we give people because we have a lot of little old ladies for customers and they're such sweethearts and they'll drive up and they'll have a question. Well, we know why they're really there. I go, would you like a car? Oh yeah, I'd love a car wash. And they go next door and the car wash guys are our customer too. And I'm like, and they're like, yep. The minute we see that, we tell them stay in your car. You don't have to get out. It's okay. And then they wash their car. Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't sound like a big deal maybe to you and me, but if you're 75 years old and you got nobody to help you around the house and your car gets all nasty, to be able to just go over and get a car wash, you know, every now and then for free, it's nice.
That's great. Man, thanks for coming in today. Give us your website.
www.affordableone, we spell out the one, O-N-E.com.
www.affordableone.com. And I hope people take advantage. You're such a fun guy. Thank you for coming in and talking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Don Kuykendall from Affordable One. And now let's transition to the phone. John Stimberger is on the line, and he has some important news that we all need to hear. I'm on the line with John Stimberger. And John, I know that this coming Tuesday, tomorrow, is going to be quite a day for you and really quite a day for us all in Florida. Tell us a little bit about what's going to be going on.
Well, the legislature has called a special session outside of the normal session. It's a week long and it is focused specifically on expanding gambling in Florida, specifically casinos and slot machines, and even, Mike, slot machines on smartphones. And so it's a bad proposal. Unfortunately, it's being proposed by Republican leadership in all places. But it can be killed if the citizens rise up and say, hey, we don't want this in our state. We're a family-friendly, amazing state, and we don't want to pour vice all over it. And so if folks rise up, contact their legislatures now, and their state House and state Senate members, we can stop this.
You know, I guess the first question that's going to come to most people's minds is, what? Why? What's happened here? What's happened even in the government that our leaders would think that more gambling is a good thing? Do you have any idea what the rationale is?
Well, there is a thing. The Seminole Indians have exclusive jurisdiction on their tribal lands. So they can do things that normal people can't do in the state of Florida because they have exclusive federal jurisdiction. However, they do have to have an agreement with the state of Florida to allow them to do these things. So it's called a compact. The compact is now up. It lasts so many years, and then it's up again, and they have to renegotiate with the state. The compact they're negotiating now, Mike, will last for 30 years. So whatever they do this Friday will be with us for 30 years. So this is kind of a big deal. Of course, every time the compact gets open, the Seminole Indians want more and more. The casino industry wants to put their head in the tent and try to get into the situation. So that's why this is coming up. However, it's very tempting as a revenue source for the state to look to gaming because it's extremely lucrative. There's just a lot of filthy money, a lot of cash that's flowing, and the state can profit from that. But we think this is bad public policy. It's a vice. This is not creating wealth. This is redistributing wealth, taking from essence many of the poor people and distributing it to the rich. And so it's bad policy.
I guess I'm trying to get my brain around it. I understand that if it were a good thing and the state could provide a future a source of revenue for itself, that makes sense. But at the cost of gambling, which we know in states where casinos have moved in, there's a whole bunch of other bad things that tend to move in with it, such as organized crime, more, like you said, more people getting addicted to this stuff, losing everything. It's just mind-boggling to me that our state, which I believe that up until just hearing this recently, John, Florida would have been one of the shining examples of leadership that the rest of the nation was looking at, thinking of all the COVID issues and all of that. And now this, it is very confusing, is it not?
It is disappointing. And so, yeah, all we can do is rise up and say, no, not on our dime. Folks need to go to flfamily.org. And there they can find a portal to find out who your local state representative is, your state legislator, Speaker of the House, Senate President. We want folks to email all four of those people and or call them and say no to casinos in Florida. Now, Mike, there's three parts to this. The first part would take the regulation out of Department of Business and Professional Regulation and would put it under a new gaming commission. Now, that gaming commission would be very susceptible to being influenced by the gambling industry, where they could lobby and get their people on it, so that the regulations and the accountability would not be true accountability like it is with the neutral administrative agency of the Department of Business and Professional Reg.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad for obvious reasons. You have the gambling industry basically overseeing the gambling industry at that point. Then there's what's called paramutual wagering. And these are the live events. High Lie, which is a form of the basket with a ball that's being thrown around. They have one in Castlebury. They have the dog racing, what they call harness racing. And so those 17 facilities around the state that are in poor neighborhoods could also become casinos, would not have to hold the live games anymore, would have card rooms and perhaps slot machines under the proposal as well. And then the final part, which to me is one of the most damaging, is that the Seminole Indians want to have online sports betting and also other online. So basically, we're talking about slot machines on a smartphone. They're claiming that because it's on the jurisdiction of their property, as long as the servers are on their property, that they can do this, and they're exclusively able to do this. That violates a number of principles. It violates current law, which says that if you're doing internet on the business, it has to conform with both where the server is and where the end user is as well. We also passed an amendment, Amendment 3, Mike, in 2018, and we basically said, look, any expansion of gambling has to have voter approval.
Right.
This is unconstitutional on its face, and the legislature is trying to subvert the authority of the people of the state of Florida, assert the Constitution, and trying to ram this through. So it's bad. It's unconstitutional. It's bad policy. It's regressive, socially speaking, in terms of the vice and the damage that it does to families, marriages, divorce, depression, suicide, people that get caught up in this. Some people, it's no big deal. They'll go play. It's not a big deal. A lot of our libertarian friends say, oh, it's no big deal. But here's the thing, Mike, and this is the important point. private behavior has public consequences. And we can't act as if everything's in an isolation and people are going to do things and it's not going to affect the wider community.
John, you know, I guess the first thought that comes to my mind would be, you know, what are these people that are proposing this, the legislators in Tallahassee who have put this out, and now it's a special session? And that in itself is not an everyday occurrence where you have a special session called for something like this. So this is a big deal. All of those state legislators that went home recently are now being called back for another week's of service. And it seems like what they're going to be dealing with exclusively during this week is what looks like a backdoor entry into our life of something that was not, like you said, voted on in a general election. It just feels like it's very subversive, and I just can't understand it. That's not a bad summary of it, is it?
No, this is historic. I'm not aware, at least in my 30 years of observing the legislative process, that there's ever been a special session called on the casino issues. And this is also arguably the most expansive proposal for casino gambling in the history of the state, perhaps even in the nation, because of this internet gambling and smartphone slot machine issue.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big deal. They'll spend millions of dollars bringing all the legislators up for a special session. So, you know, it's a serious matter because you know that all three branches of the government, the governor's office, the Senate president, and the Speaker of the House all have called the session. So they're all kind of in on it. Strategically, we have to kill this in the House of Representatives. I think the Senate is locked down. The governor has proposed this, actually, and it can't pass without the legislative branch approving it.
Wow.
So it's up for us to get to our state representatives, tell them to vote no on the expansion of gambling in the special session.
So just to be very clear, it would be very clear that this is beyond anything that's happening only exclusively on the reservations of the Seminole tribe, right? I mean, this is going to impact the entire state of Florida.
Well, that's right, because it deals also with the paramutual facilities. There's 17 of them around Florida. And it also deals with the smartphone slot machine issues and the potential sports betting as well. So it actually has an effect well beyond Florida into other states and across the country.
Yeah, and for that matter, the world, right?
Arguably, yes.
Wow. Okay, John, so I know that there's a special rally that's going to take place to protest this movement, and it's going to be tomorrow in Tallahassee, and people can join if the buses aren't yet full. They can join and actually take a ride to Tally and be a part of this rally in what could be a historic stop, and that's what it appears that needs to take place for the good of our state. And so what is the address, the web address that people can go to find out information?
Yeah, all the information, the research, the information on how to get on a bus in Tampa, Orlando, or Jacksonville, also the action alerts on who to call and when to call, is all at flfamily.org. That's flfamily.org.
Well, John Stenberger, you're one tireless worker. You're always doing things to represent what would be the good of the people, and we appreciate that. And we're going to be praying for you, my friend.
I appreciate it, Mike.
So please be praying for John and all of us that will be at that rally. That is tomorrow in Tallahassee in the early afternoon. A big thanks to both John Stenberger and Don Kirkendall. And we'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.